Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to have those of you joining with us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online family? Woo! My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and so do you like my dashiki? I'm wearing this in honor of Black History Month. A friend of mine gave me this, but also celebrating the incredible, amazing diversity God has given here in this church family. Can we sell some? God, you've done so good. I love it. I love the diversity in this church family. So this weekend, we kick off a brand new series here that all of us can relate to. Whether you're in your 20s, whether you're in your 60s, or whether you're 35 like me. Whether you're married or single, whether you got kids or no kids, whether you got your PhD or your GED, every one of us in this room, we have one thing in common, and here it is. We all hate cats. I'm just kidding. No emails, please. We all have one thing in common. Here it is. We all need money to live. All of us, we all need money to live. And so today we're kicking off a brand new series that I'm really excited about. I think you're going to enjoy. I think it's going to be engaging. I think it's going to be fun. And every weekend, we're going to be giving away $1,000 to someone sitting in the audience. Right. But I did get your attention. Now look, I want you to do something with me, okay? As we get started today, I want you to do something. I want you to, out of your purse, out of your pocket, I want you to locate some money, okay? Go ahead, take it out right now. Take it out, locate some money, okay? We're not taking up an offering. Don't worry about it. Just find some money if you can. If you got some money, find some money. If you're online with us, find some money. You're online, find some money. Look, if you're with us today and you're under 35, if you're under 30, look, just Google U.S. currency, because you haven't seen money in years. I get it. Look, people, you got some, come on, everybody find some money. Look, if you don't have money, if you got money, just pass it down your row to people who don't have it, okay? Just pass it down your rows. Okay, we're good. All right. You got some kind of money. Doesn't matter how much it is. You got some kind of money. Okay, so let me see. Come on. You got some money. Hold it up. All right, let me see the singles. Let me see the fives. Let me see the tens, 20s, 50s. Who's got the Benjamins? Come on. Big. Okay, hello. Big ballers in the house. Okay, I see that. All right. So now look. Whether you got a dollar or you got $100 or anywhere in between in your hand right now, flip it over to the backside. There are four words printed on the back of every piece of U.S. currency. What are those four words? Ready? In God we trust. Yes. In God we trust. Now, what would it be like if we really did that? If we really lived our lives and really trusted God in that kind of way with our money, would that change things? Oh, I think that would change everything. I want to talk about that here in just a moment, But before we do that, I want to have a little more fun here with this money. So when this phrase, in God we trust, when do you think that phrase, what year did that phrase actually get printed on our money? Anybody want to guess? What year? Okay, let me give you a couple options. Okay, we got A, 1776. B, 1929. That was a Great Depression. How about C, 1972? That was the year of the perfect season for the Miami Dolphins. Anybody? Like three fans in the house. Okay. That one, don't even guess that one. I just threw that in there for the Dolphin fans. Okay. And here's letter D. 1957. So, anybody want to guess what year did the phrase "In God We Trust" started getting printed on our money? Anybody want to guess? Correct answer is D. 1957. That's when it started getting printed on our money. Let me ask you another question. Just a couple of interesting facts about money. Okay, another interesting fact. Okay, money. We call them paper. But do you know they're not actually really paper? Do you know what this is made out of? Oh, I heard it. Good. This is made out of a cotton. Every bill is made out of cotton. 75% cotton and 25% linen. This is why it shrinks so much every time you use it, because it's 100% cotton. I'll be here all day. Okay. Let me give you one more fact. I'm not making these up. These are true. Let me give you one more fact about money. These money doesn't stay in circulation all the time. It gets old, and so they every so often they take money out of circulation. Do you know where the money goes when they take it out of circulation? What happens to it? Okay, good. They don't burn it. They actually shred it. They actually shred it and make compost out of it. And they make compost out of it. And they send it all, this is true, they send it all to one farm in the state of Delaware. So I know what you're all thinking. Pastor Kevin, I feel a calling from God to become a farmer and move to Delaware. I just know it. So a couple of interesting facts about money. But do you know where you can find the most interesting facts about money? Is right here in this book. This book has so much to say about money. You'd be amazed what you can find in this book regarding money. So we're going to be looking at what's in this book here in just a minute. And one particular verse we're going to be looking at today. But before we do any of that, I'd love for you to do something for me. Locate some message notes. So message notes are all electronic. You can find them on our Miami Vineyard app. Just go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. You can find the app. Or if you're in the room today, if you haven't yet downloaded the app, you can scan this QR code right here in this card in the seat back in front of you. You can download the app. On the app is all kinds of, it's like our church on your phone. It's a great app. And there's message notes. Tap on weekends. You get message notes. And there's a couple goodies in the message notes. So here we go. I want to begin today with one of the most incredible verses in the entire Bible. Philippians 4:19 says this, God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to break that verse down for just a moment because that verse is incredible. First of all, it says God will. It doesn't say he might. Not he'll consider it, not he'll think about it. It says God will. God will what? He'll meet all your needs. All? Does that include a car payment? Yeah, reasonable car payment. Does that include rent and mortgage? Yes. Does that include FPL bill? Yes. Does that include college tuition? I hope so. It says all. God will meet all your needs. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say wants. It says needs. Is there a difference between needs and wants? Yes. Notice the Bible doesn't say God's going to meet everything you want. But God does say he will meet all your needs. All your needs. All your needs. I've been watching God do that for my family, our family, for decades. Some of you know before I was a pastor, I was a teacher. I was a Dade County Public School teacher. Let me see any teachers in the place today. Come on, let me see the hands. Come on, teachers. Come on, let's hear it for the teachers. Come on, teachers. If you're online with us right now, part of our Vineyard family online, if you're a teacher, just tell everybody in the chat, just put the words world changer, because that's what you are. That's what you are. Teachers. So I was a teacher, and I taught for like 7 years, and so you know that teachers don't make a lot of money to start with. So I was teaching, but I had this crazy supernatural experience, I'll tell you another time, where I heard God speak to me to stop teaching and come on staff at this church. I didn't start the church. Church was really small at that time. Another pastor started, but to come on staff, and church was real small, they couldn't offer me much, and so to come on staff, I had to take a 50% pay cut from being a teacher to come on staff. Teachers don't make much to start with. 50% pay cut. My wife was not working outside the home. She was working inside the home. We had one child, another one on the way, with a 50% salary cut of a teacher's salary. And I thought to myself, how could this ever be possible? And then I knew the Bible. I knew this verse. And my God We'll meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I said, God, okay, if this is true, God, then God, you have got to somehow make this happen. And I could stand up here today and tell you stories till you went to bed tonight. But I'll just tell you just one. Just because God moves in all kinds of ways. And sometimes it's not like supernatural stuff. It's just simple stuff, but it's still God moving in ways. So after we had our first child, a boy, we had a girl, then another girl, then another girl, and then a boy. All really right in a row together. I don't know how that happened, but that's another story for another day. So three girls, like, bing, 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 right next to each other. So there was two women, one in our church at that time, and another woman who was a teacher friend of mine back from my teaching days. Both of these women had girls who were a little older than our girls. And I didn't ask them for this. But they, on their own, decided they're going to give clothes that their girls outgrew to us. And so every 6 months or so, they would bring bags of really nice clothes from their girls that they had outgrown to our girls. It was amazing. Now, were the clothes new? No, they were worn. They were certified pre-owned. They were used. It's always so funny. Used cars are not used anymore. They're certified pre-owned. Yep, it's used. But our girls, they loved it. They get the clothes. They get the bag. Look. They loved it. We saved us hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars just on those clothes. That is one of the ways that God does provide. God does provide. He does provide. Over and over and over again, God does provide. And so look back at the verse. God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. According to his glorious riches. Not based upon my bank account, thank God. It's based upon God's bank account. Now, I know some of you are thinking, you're Pastor Kevin. Okay, Pastor Kevin, if this verse is true, then why do I have financial needs? And why do I know other people who have financial needs? I mean, Pastor Kevin, I know people who are Christians who have financial needs. What has God failed? Did he lie? Was he just feeling extra good that day when he wrote that verse? No. You see, with every promise, there's a premise. With every promise, there are some conditions that have to be met to get the promise. There's some conditions. So this is God's promise. God says, here's my promise. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's my guarantee. God says, look, if you meet these conditions, you'll never have to worry about finances again. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to have financial difficulty again, because some of you know that God will use financial difficulty to get our attention. There's no question about it. So I'm not saying never have financial difficulty again, but I am saying this. You will never have to worry about finances again. Would that make a difference in our lives? If we never had to worry about finances again, that would be an absolute game changer. If you never had to worry about finances again, absolute game changer in our lives. But when we will, in God we trust. See, it's a partnership. Partnership. God says, look, I'm going to do my part. Here's my part. You never got to worry about finances again. I'm going to meet all your needs if you do your part. So what's our part? What's our part? Let me give you a couple of three things today. If we do these parts, God's going to do his part. So if you got that outline, if you got the message notes out, here we go. Here's the first thing. Our part, God's part. Here's the first part of our part. First, number one, God's going to meet all my financial needs if I ask for his help. If I ask for his help. God wants to help, but he wants to be asked. He wants to be invited. He wants to be invited in. He wants to be included. Let me ask you a question. Last time you needed a car, did you just go get it or did you pray first? I'm not saying if you pray, God's going to miraculously have a car show up in your driveway. But I am saying that God wants to be involved in this. See, we don't hesitate to involve God in our life, involve God in our relationships, involve God with our job, involve God with all these things. But for some reason, we don't bring God into our finances, into our money. And God wants to be part of that. He wants to be involved in that. He wants to be involved in that. From clothes to shoes to braces to buying a home to everything, God wants to help. I heard a story this week about an elderly lady who lived in a small southern town who was known for her faith and her boldness in talking about it. And every morning, this elderly Christian lady would get up and she'd walk out to her front porch and she'd say in a loud voice, "Praise the Lord!" Well, next to her lived another woman who was an atheist, didn't believe in God. And the atheist hated that she would walk out on the porch and say those words every morning. And so this atheist lady would yell back, "There ain't no God. Praise the Lord. There ain't no Lord. Praise the Lord. There ain't no Lord." This went back and forth, back and forth. Well, hard times set in on the elderly Christian lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She walked out to her front porch. She prayed in a loud voice, "God, you promised to supply all my needs. God, I need some food. God, I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." The next morning, she woke up and found a large bag of groceries sitting on her porch. And she shouted, "Praise the Lord, he heard my prayer. He sent me some groceries." Just then, this atheist woman jumped out and said, "Ha! I told you there ain't no Lord. I bought you those groceries." Well, now the Christian lady really started yelling and dancing and clapping. And she said, "Well, praise the Lord. Not only did he bring me some groceries, he had you pay for them." Now, there's some truth to that story. One of the reasons, I'm convinced of this, one of the reasons we don't see financial miracles in our lives at the rate we could is because we simply don't invite God in. We just take care of the money on ourselves. Just whatever, slap the credit card down there, just deal with it, just take care of it. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having a credit card, nothing like that at all. I'm just saying, do we bring God in? Because God wants to be in. He wants to be involved. He wants to be brought in. He wants to be invited in. God wants to be brought into our finances. And so notice, if you got the message notes, notice this rule: before you pay for it, pray for it. Seriously, if you want to see God move in your life, there's a phrase we've coined here at our church called the God factor. The God factor. Not the Godfather, the God factor. The God factor is when God shows up and there's no explanation for it except God did it. God did it. And I really think that there's some of this that God wants to do in our life. Now, can it be crazy supernatural things? Oh, yeah, absolutely can be. But sometimes God will use the supernatural. Sometimes God will use a person, like he used those two women for us. That was God doing that. We didn't ask for that. They just did that. That was a God factor. So sometimes God will use a person. Sometimes God will use a program. Let me give you a God factor that God might be speaking to some of you right now here today. Starting this Wednesday, 7:30 here at our church, we're going to be starting a class called Financial Peace University. It is 9 weeks. It is one of the best classes on finances you're ever going to get. Because look, whoever teaches us how to manage money? Nobody. We just hopefully pick it up from someplace. Maybe my parents, maybe not. Maybe my parents did it this way. I ain't doing it that way. Who teaches us? Nobody teaches us this. Financial Peace University helps you manage your current money, get out of debt, and invest for the future. It is 9 weeks of solid biblical financial advice. It's called Financial Peace University. Now, if you want to sign up for this, here's what you do. On the app, if you got the app open, on the app, just go back and tap on weekends again, and then you'll see it says Financial Peace University, and you can just tap on that. Tap on this weekend, Financial Peace University. Tap on that. You can sign up right there on the app, right here today. Now, look, some of you, really, this is good for everybody. Whether you have got financial worries or not, this is good for everybody. But some of you, this could be exactly why you came to this place today, to get a grip on your finances. And this is going to help you do that. Financial Peace University, starting this Wednesday, 7:30, right here. So, the guarantee, God's going to meet all my financial needs if I ask for his help. Number one. Here's number two. There's three things. Here's the second one. If I learn to be content. See, one of the things we learn from being on this journey with God is this, that God is far more interested on what's going on the inside than he is on what's going on the outside. He cares more. God cares way more about our character than he does about our comfort. So, and he's watching our attitude. And if I buy into the system that having more is going to make me happy and I want to spend it all on me, and if I think about things more than God, why in the world would God aid my addiction? He's watching my attitude. In fact, look what it says in this next verse. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation. Now, what's contentment? Well, let me start by saying what contentment is not. Contentment is not having any financial goals. That's not contentment. We ought to have financial goals for retirement, for our kids, for college, for all kinds of things. Those are biblical. We ought to have financial goals. So that's not contentment. So Pastor Kevin, what's contentment? Here's contentment. Contentment means my happiness is not dependent on my circumstances. That's contentment. My happiness is not dependent on my circumstances. See, we always get caught up in this when and then. When I get a new car, then I'll be happy. When I get a new house, then I'll be happy. When I have kids, then we'll be happy. When the kids leave home, then we'll be happy. It just goes on and on and on. Look, let me tell you where true contentment comes from. You ready? Here's where true contentment comes from. True contentment comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where true contentment comes from. Nothing in life, no person, no thing, no vacation, no experience, no bank account, nothing in life can bring contentment like Jesus Christ can. Nothing can. Nothing can. So if you're here today, you're listening to me online right now, if you've not opened up your life to Jesus Christ and just said, Jesus, I want this contentment that Pastor Kevin is talking about right now, you just ask him, say, Jesus, I want this contentment. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. This is where this contentment comes from. So look what this next verse says. There's great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take how much? Nothing out of it. Now, I don't know if you've ever witnessed a baby being born, but I've been in that room 5 times now. I've watched them come into the world. They don't bring a whole lot with them. They come covered in some white yucky stuff and an umbilical cord, but that's it. Right? They don't come with a suitcase full of cash smoking a cigar. They don't. Look, so we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. You know, over these years, I've performed a lot of funerals. Let me tell you something I've never seen at a funeral. I've never yet seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You know why? Because you ain't taking it with you. We brought nothing in, and we're taking nothing out. One of the greatest secrets of life is this. One of the greatest financial secrets of life is this. We don't own anything. We don't. Well, Pastor Kevin, who owns it? God does. It's all God's. He just lets us use it. The house is God's. You just get to use it. The car is God's. You just get to use it. We go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out there, preacher boy. Just time out for a minute. You go, wait. Pastor, wait. My name is on that house. I make that payment every month. I don't see God making that payment. My name's on that car payment. I don't see God making that payment. I'm making that payment. Okay. Who gave you the mind to think with? Who gave you the hands to work with? Who gave you the beat of your heart? Who gave you every breath you take? God does. God does. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. And it's all God's. It's all God's. We just simply get to use it. 2 years ago, before COVID, right before COVID hit, I stood on the stage and I had this huge jar of M&Ms up here on stage. And I was throwing M&Ms out into the audience, and we were talking about M&Ms. I was using M&Ms as an illustration. And I said, M&Ms stood for something. Anybody remember what M&Ms stood for? More money. Yeah. More money, yeah. Not exactly. M&Ms stood for money manager. That's all we are. God owns all the M&Ms. We are simply money managers. That's all we are. Folks, when we get this, it changes everything. Because everything I have is really God's. My house is God's. My paycheck is God's. My car is God's. My stuff is God's. My thing is God's. It's all God's. It's all God's. And we begin to hold things with open hands instead of holding on to things so tightly all the time. I mean, what's the second word a kid learns after mama and dada? Mine. Mio. Mine. I mean, you hand them something. You just gave it to them. Mine. Well, no, it's not. No, it's mine. I just let you use it. Mine. We do that with God all the time. God gives us all these things. But mine. Mine. It's not ours. It's God's. And when we begin to hold things with open hands, changes everything. Your whole world changes. Your whole life changes. Because it's all God's. His responsibility. It's God's. It's God's. He owns it all. I just manage his things. Changes everything. It's an absolute game changer. So the conditions. God says, I promise to meet all your needs. If I ask for his help, if I learn to be content, and here's number three, if you got the message notes, if I practice giving in faith. I heard a very interesting stat this week. 80% of people in this country, 80% of Americans, 87% think about money all the time. 87%. The other 13% lied. I mean, we're thinking about it all the time. Think about, okay, right now, some of you, after the service is over, you're going to go out and you're going to grab some lunch someplace. So what's involved in grabbing lunch? Money. You're going to think about that. You're going to think, where you're going to go? What's it going to cost? How much is it going to cost? Who am I going to bring with me? Are we going to go as a group? Because we go as a group, then we got to divvy up the bill. How are we going to divvy up the bill? I don't want to divvy up the bill. Every time I divvy up the bill, there's always one person never wants to pay. That same person comes along all the time. I hope they don't come, but they always come. Maybe we can sneak away before they come. You know there's always one person never pays. But we're thinking about it all the time. We think about it all the time. Do you know, studies have been done, Jesus recorded words in this book, the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels. The recorded words of Jesus. Studies have been done about those words, so many studies. Do you realize that when Jesus was here, looking at his recorded words in this book, he talked more about heaven and hell. No, he talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell combined. I mean, you'd think if Jesus could talk about anything, he'd talk about heaven and hell. But he talked about money. Why? Because it's always on our minds. And here's the second reason to talk about money. It's because money is really a spiritual matter. It really is. Jesus said it like this. He said, you can't love God and love money. Either you're gonna love one or you're gonna love the other. And later on in the book of James, it says, it doesn't say money's the root of all evil, but what does it say? The what? The love of money. The love of money. Jesus talked about it all the time. Look, here's something else Jesus said about money. Look at this verse, next verse in your message notes. Jesus said, look, if you give it away. If you give it away, you're gonna receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Jesus said, whatever measure you use for giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. And God says, hey, let's play a little giving game. Let's see who can give the most. And we say, great, God, you go first. God says, nope, it's my game. You go first. It's God's game. God says, look, if you trust me, here's the promise. God says, here's the promise. I'll meet all your needs, but here's my part. You got to trust me. You start. You give it away. You plant a seed. You give it away, and you see what I'm going to do. So I get asked this question all the time. Well, Pastor Kevin, how much do I give? Like when we take up the offering at the end of the service, I get asked all the time, Pastor Kevin, how much does a person give? Like, I don't know. No one's ever taught me, like, what to give. Do I give, like, do I give $5? Do I give $10? Do I give $20? Do I give $100? Do I give $1,000? Pastor Kevin, what do we give? It's a great question. It's a great question. Here's the answer. The answer is not the same for everybody. The answer varies upon how much money God has given you. So look at the next verse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, meaning into the church, into what you call home, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room for it. So look at those two words, whole tithe. Here's what God says. God says, here's how much you give back to God. You give 10% back to God. That's what tithe means, 10%. 10% of everything we have, whether it comes in the form of a sale, whether it comes in the form of a paycheck, whether it comes in the form of an inheritance, whether it comes in the form of whatever it is, that first 10% goes back to God. That's called a tithe. First 10%. Now, it's called a tenth. It's called a tithe. It goes back to God. Now, 10%. I used to teach math in middle school, junior high. I know math can be difficult for people. I get it. So look, I want to help you with math because 10% is the easiest one to figure out. So here's what I want you to do right now. In your mind, I want you to get your paycheck in your mind right now because everybody kind of knows how much they get paid. Get your paycheck in your mind right now, okay? You got your paycheck. Now, here's how you figure out 10%. Whatever number it is, here's how you figure out 10%. So let's say your paycheck is 742. I'm just making up a number. Drop the last number. That's 10%. That's God's. That's 10%. Let's say your paycheck is 1,651. Whatever number, drop the last number. The rest is God's. Let's say both people are working. Let's say you made a sale. You're in real estate, 22,647. Okay, whatever. Drop the last number. The rest is God's. Now, why is it so quiet in here? Because you know why it's so quiet in here. Because in your mind right now, you got your number. You're dropping the last number. You're circling the rest. And you're going, there ain't no chance God's getting that. Tithing is not charity. Tithing is an act of worship. It's saying, God, I believe everything comes from you. I wouldn't have any of this paycheck if it wasn't for you. And God, you just want the first part. You just want 10% back. I get the 90s mine. I just, 10%. Now look, I know you're crunching numbers. I know how this goes because I've been doing this for a long time. I know how it went in my life. First time somebody taught me this. I go, what? God wants how much? 10%. Why? Why 10%? Because God says, when you give me back that first part, it keeps you dependent on me. It keeps you not thinking success came from you because success doesn't come from you. Success comes only from God. Only from God. There is no self-made man or self-made woman. There's only a God-made man and God-made woman. That's all there is. God does that. This keeps us dependent on God. Dependent on God. That God, you are my source. You are my source. And God, I trust you because you are my source. I trust you that when I give you this away, I'm not losing this, I'm gaining so much more. Because God says, there's gonna be a window. God says, in this verse we just read, I'm gonna open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you won't have enough room for it. That's the promise of God. I didn't make that promise, God did. God did. And God knew we would struggle with this. He knew. That's why he said in this verse, he says, test me in this. Test me, God says. God says, look, I know you're hesitant. I know. Test me. Take a chance. See if I am not the God who will do what I said I'm going to do. There's only one way you're going to know if God's going to do what he said he's going to do. So test him. He says, test me in this. This isn't Pastor Kevin's deal. This is God's deal. I'm just teaching God's deal. Now, some of you in this room, you've figured this out. You said, man, Pastor Kevin, yes. You've been doing that for years. You've said yes. It's so true. I want you to hear right now from somebody in our church family. She's a single mom, school teacher, who she took a risk and trusted God with her tithe. Here's Leah's story. Watch this.
A friend of another friend actually invited me to the church, and I came that one day, and I truly just fell in love with the service. with the people, with the fact that I could drop my child off and be by myself and be able to worship by myself. It became my place to cry every Sunday and to just let everything go. And it became a place where, you know, I found comfort when my father was ill. Becoming baptized here meant a lot as well. It's truly my home, and I really appreciate it. So tithing has always been important in our family. My parents were they've always tithed, and I have always offered. I've always given an offering, but as far as tithing, it was kind of sporadic. And then I came to a service with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Paul sitting on the stage saying that they were going to give you a money-back guarantee after this 90-day challenge. And I said, I'll try it, but who's really going to ask God back for their money? That's kind of crazy, but it looped me in, and I started tithing that day, and I haven't stopped. I feel like I never needed the money that I've tithed. I don't feel like I could have used that money for something else. And it's made a huge difference in my life, and it's something that I intend to, you know, pass on to my son as my parents have passed on to me. And if I could tell anyone to go ahead and challenge yourself and make the sacrifice, it is well worth it, because it is.
You know, the first time I tithed, it was just convenient because it was, you know, I could go to the app and, you know, I could do it that way. I didn't have to write a check. I don't think it was the first time that really started hitting me that I was tithing. I think it was a couple of weeks into it, and I was like, oh, I'm still doing this. And I didn't go to church one Sunday, and you know what? I still tithed on that Sunday. And then it just became, whenever I got paid, it is the first thing that I do. It truly is. The first thing I do, I get my paycheck on Thursday, and on Thursday morning, I go ahead and tithe my money in the app. It makes it very easy, and it just goes straight out, and I don't even miss it. So that's a great thing. I'm Leah Moore, and that is why I tithe.
Let's hear it for Leah. Now, I know her story. Like I said, single mom, school teacher. She was very hesitant when she started, just like a lot of us. But she took that risk. She took that chance. And we just had to show you just a small snippet of her story. But she's got so much to her story, the way God has been moving in her life and the things that have been happening in her life. So here is my challenge to you. Will you, for the next 90 days, 3 months, will you for the next 90 days take a chance, and will you give God that first 10%? For the next 90 days, will you give God that first 10%? It's called the 90-day challenge. The 90-day challenge. Will you take a chance? The only way you're going to find out is if you take a chance. 90-day challenge. Now, here's how you can respond to the challenge, if you want to say yes to the challenge. Text the word 10, T-E-N, not the number 10, but the word 10. Text the word 10 to the number you see coming up on screen. If you do that, I'm going to pray for you by name. I'm going to send you some encouraging texts along the way to keep you going. Just text the word 10 to the number you see coming up on screen. You're saying, God, I want it, God. This is not easy. But God, I want to take you up on this challenge. And it's God's challenge. We're just issuing God's challenge. But here's what I'm going to do. Same money back guarantee is still in effect. If after 90 days, you say, Pastor Kevin, there's been no change in my life. Not just financially, but I mean spiritual change, emotional change, just real. You've said there's been some changes. If there's no changes in your life in 90 days, you want your money back? We'll give it back to you. You got a money back guarantee. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. So if you want to be part of this 90-day tithe challenge, just text the word T-E-N to the number you see coming up on screen. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life. This is not something we want from you. This is something we want for you. I want you. I want you. I want you online family, in-person family. I want you to experience everything God has for you. And this is part of it. This is absolutely part of it. To give it to God and see what God's going to do in your life. Only one way to find out. God says, test me. Only one way to find out. God says, test me. So would you pray with me, even right now, even as some of you are even still texting. You can still text in during the prayer. Some of you just, you're thinking about this. It's a wrestling match. I get it. I know the battle. It's a battle. Am I going to take this step? Can I afford to take the step? I know it never feels like we can afford it. Never. It never feels like we can afford it. But we don't trust God because it feels right. We trust God because this is what God says. We trust God in obedience. We trust God because we trust God. Right? The whole series, in God we trust. We're saying, God, today, we're putting our money in your hands. We're trusting you. Because it all comes from you anyway. God, we're trusting you. We're trusting you. We're taking the next step of faith for the next 90 days. So I pray God's blessing on you. I pray that some of you, you're going through some really hard times financially right now. I just want to pray, God, would you show up in your power, in your presence? Would you make a way where there seems to be no way? Would you open a door where there seems to be no door? God, would you close deals that some people are waiting on? Some of you are waiting on some deals to close. I pray that God would move on your behalf and you would close those deals. And you would honor God with the first 10% that comes in because it belongs to God. God, I pray for your peace, your presence, your God factor to come upon our lives. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.